Shus Marina, Rav Shlita. Mazel Tov to Michael and Hazel Israel on Jeremy's Chasna, which took place last week. We should always continue with Simchas. In case you're expecting now a stand-up comedy act, I'm afraid you're going to be slightly disappointed. That's not the intention of today. Mind you, it's always tempting to push in something, and there is a Gemara where Rabbo in Gemara Shabbos Daf Lamed started his shiur with a joke. I heard just yesterday a true story of somebody who came to Australia for immigration. Australia was always famous for being one big prison. That's why we're called POMS by the Australians. POMS stands for Prisoner of Mother England, and they used to wear it on their t-shirts, so they called us whinging POMS. So someone came to the Australian customs and he was asked, "Do you have a criminal record?" And he said, "No, I didn't know I needed one to get in." He was actually deported for saying that. I also heard yesterday about a Hasidish fellow who wears a shtraimel and bekesha. His wife gave birth prematurely when they were in Bournemouth, and he had to walk to the hospital on Shabbos in Poole along the Poole Harbour. And he thought maybe he won't wear his shtraimel when he walks there. He walked just without it, and he came back to the shul wearing his bekesha and his gartel and his white socks. And he was wearing a baseball cap. And so my friend asked him, "Why are you wearing the baseball cap?" He said, "I didn't want to look conspicuous." He told me about two Negro men who saw one of these Hasidim, and one asked the other, he says, "Who are they?" He said, "Hasidim." He said, "Hasidim as well, but who are they?" But of course, this year is celebrating Jeremy Israel's Chasna, and at Chasnas you always get interesting quips about marriage and what is it that makes the marriage and makes it last so well. My wife says it's communication. I say it's earplugs. Anyway, Rav Aryeh Kaplan was once asked, "Is it true that there are lots of jokes in Gomorrah?" And he said, "Yes, but they're all very old." We say in the Shir HaMaalos that when we bench on Shabbos, Oz Yimale Sechok Pinu, then in the future our mouths will be filled with lots of laughter. And we learn out really in Gemara Brachos Lamed Aleph from this pasuk that nowadays, whilst we're in Golos, certainly it says Osul Odom Sheimale Odom Sechok Piv BaOlam Hazeh. A person should not fill his mouth with laughter. That laughter is considered to be something derogatory because it can lead to various things which are unsavory. What is the attitude then of the Gemara? Are you saying you should never laugh? It does say that Rav Yumia tried to get Rabbi Zeira to laugh and he never managed. But he was machmir to say, that's going perhaps too far. And this quip about Osul Odom Shimale Odom Eschopit Ba'olam Hazeh is brought down in the Torah in Orach Chaim Siman Tov Kuf Samach, which talks about the 3 weeks which are now coming next week, so it's an appropriate subject to discuss. But the Torah says also le odom shimale odom schokiv piv bizman hazeh. He doesn't write ba'olam hazeh, in this world, but bizman hazeh, at this time, namely in the golos that we're in. And this is a view which is also reflected by the Ramban. However, the Beis Yosef is more cautious in his approach, and he says, quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, that it does mean ba'olam hazeh, namely generally in this world, sha'asimcha yaseiro margilin es ha'odom lishkoach ha'mitzvahs, that too much frivolity and laughter could lead a person to forget the mitzvahs. And as we know from Pekei Avos in Perek Gimel Mishnah Yud Zayin, Sechok v'kalas rosh margilin es ha'odom le'erva, a person who engages so much in laughter and frivolity could end up bringing along immorality. On the other hand, in the same Pekei Avos, in the sixth Perek, in Mishnah Vav, it talks about one of the ways of acquiring Torah. There are 48 ways, and one of them is miut sechok. So it doesn't say no laughter, but minimal laughter. Miut sechok means yes, one should have laughter. And laughter, as we know from the Reader's Digest, is the best medicine. But miut sechok means, keep it in balance. certainly in Koheles there are what appears to be contradictory references to the idea of laughter. Simcha shel mitzvah is fine when it's through the mitzvah, and joy helps one towards learning. Joy helps one even for Ruach HaKodesh or Nevuah. They are essential ingredients for being a prophet. But certainly making fun without a good reason. We spoke about Rabba, who started his shiur with a joke in Gemara Daf Lamed in Shabbos. But I remember Rav Cooper, as Zatzal once said to me, when I once gave a Dvar Torah, this was in school, and he was our teacher, and it hedged upon something which was a bit humorous or sounded like scoffing, even though I quoted from a very reliable source in the Mikros Gedolos. He said to me a story about Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who had made a shidduch for his daughter, and then son-in-law was sitting at the table with him, and they were discussing what bracha should one say first. They had on the table eggs and another food which they called kedem. It couldn't have been kedem, grape juice. And they were discussing which one to have first, because both were shahakal. And this potential son-in-law said, well, it says in the pasuk, doesn't it, in Parshas Lech Lecha, I'm a kedem. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger was so upset about this misuse of the pasuk that he cancelled the shidduch. Quite drastic, I think, but that's what Rav Cooper told to me. But Rabbi Cooper himself always had a very nice sense of humour. I remember how he spoke to us about the donkey. That we talk about the donkeys being pathetic in their seichel and in their approach, and then he would tell us, but not like the donkey of Rav Pinchas ben Yoyah, who would not eat food until it was maisered. Well, where do we find the first mention of laughter in the Torah? Certainly Avram Avinu must have had a good laugh when he smashed all the idols in his father's shop except one, putting the stick in the hands of one of them, and his father saying, well, it couldn't be possible that this idol smashed the other ones. But I think the first real mention of laughter in the Torah is with Sarai Imenu. And in fact, Avram Avinu as well, when Hashem says that you will be giving birth to a son at such an old age, this can't be right. So there's laughter. And in fact, not only does Sarah laugh, it says, "Vatischak Sarah b'kirbo," and she was told off for it, and she relented. Well, I didn't really laugh. She repented for it. Hashem said, "Lo mazeh sochakos Sarah." She was told off. But really, earlier, Avram Avinu in Perek Yud Zayin, Posek Yud Zayin, also laughed. Because it says there, "Vayipal Avram alponov vayitzchok," after Hashem told him that he will have a son, he laughed. And he asked, a 100-year-old person can give birth. So the question is, why is it that Avram was not told off and Sarah was told off? They both laughed. The Bechor Shor says that Avram Avinu showed with his bowing down at the time that his laughter was one of emunah. He was showing faith, and his laugh was symbolizing joy. He felt something miraculous was happening. But Sarah's laugh wasn't that something miraculous was about to happen. She had doubt. She was saying, how is this possible? She showed a lack of emunah in Hashem. And that's why Hashem criticized her for her laughter. And Yitzchok was finally born, and he was named Yitzchok. Yitzchok means he will laugh. Yitzchok isn't really recorded as the most jovial person in the Chumash. Why is it that Yitzchok was called so? After whose laugh, maybe? Was it after Avraham's laugh, or was it after Sarah's laugh? So the Ralbach says in Perek Yuzayin, Posek Yuzayin, that this was reflecting the pure joy when he was born. The expression of elation at his birth, and that joy was a legitimate form of laughter, and that's why he was named after it. And later on in the whole story of Yitzchak, we have with Yishmael, he was teasing Yitzchak, and he uses the word there, Metzachek Asher Yoldo LaAvraham Metzachek. When Sarah sees Yishmael, and he is Metzachek, she asks that he goes. This is in Perek Chaf Aleph, Posuk Yud. Was it such a bad thing? And Rashi there says in Posuk 9 that the Metzachek there was alluding to the Midrash saying that he was practicing Gid Aroyos, Shlichas Domim, and Avodah Zorah. So there you've got a very derogatory form of laughter, which is alluding to the three cardinal sins. So in a way, laughter is a response, the psychologists will tell us, a response to the unexpected. Yitzchok Avinu was unexpected because he was born at his parents' old age. And just like when, if you see a conjurer doing a magic trick, you normally laugh. Why do you laugh? It's not a joke, but it's something which is unexpected. Humor is the art of surprise, and Yitzchok represented this art of the unexpected. Rav Hirsch writes there that his birth was something which was regarded as an absurdity, and that's why it was a topic for laughter. And so Yitzchok's whole life was really a mixture of joy, a mixture of the unexpected, and a mixture of with absurdity. These are all features of Yitzchok's life, he says. What about Hashem himself? Does God have a sense of humor? Well, it's quite clear from the pasuk that he does, because in Parshas Bo it says the word hisalalti. Bo paro, go to paro, and the word used there is hisalalti. And Rashi there says this is an expression of sochakti, I laughed. Loshon sochot. And the Ramban says this, Kani metzachikvo. Hashem says he was laughing at the Egyptians or at Paro. And the Al-Sheikh asks this question, why is Hashem laughing? Because Hashem had just given them the plague of Borod, of hailstones. And at the end of the plague of hailstones, although the hailstones disrupted a lot of the agriculture and did away with a lot of their crops, there was left behind a substantial amount. So the Egyptians were saying, oh, this is not bad. We've still got plenty left. And Hashem was saying to them, you idiots, the only reason why I'm leaving behind these crops is so that when the locusts come along, there'll be plenty left for them to eat up, so that they can eat it all. So therefore, Hashem was laughing. And there you've got the pasuk, Lamanta Saperis, in order that you teach your children, Esbincho, Esben Bincho, that you shall teach them about the coming out of Egypt. And I remember I was in a Ramban shir some 40 odd years ago where this Rabbin Beit Magan was explaining the link between his Salalti and Lamanta Saper, that when you teach your children you should do so with laughter. It is an essential ingredient of chinuch, of education, that you do so with humor, or as he said, dost die Kinderplatzen, that when you teach the Torah with humor, that is the best way of getting it across. It is the best way of getting things across. Ah, you might ask me the question, is it right though that although Hashem is punishing the Egyptians, should he be laughing at them? Is it right to make fun of others? Surely that's not the way, the correct approach. You don't make fun of your enemies. Don't we omit some of the Hallel for most of Pesach because we don't want to gloat over the downfall of the Egyptians? I think the answer to that is that laughter, or latsonus, is a bittul. A bittul means to nullify something. If you want to destroy, chas v'shalom, the reputation of a person, you laugh at them. You tease them. That's latsonus, which is not allowed. But it is allowed, and it's indeed and even a mitzvah to do latsonus on an apikoros or on a rosho. Because the latsonus is a form of bittul in a way of doing away with their reputation. I remember many years ago, Rav Knoblovitz Zatzal, who was the previous Rav Hendon Hadass, after the Jacobs affair came out, he saw a picture of Louis Jacobs, who was branded as an apikoros by the London Beis Din, and he was saying, look at this face, he's got the face of a monkey. He was saying derogatory things that people should laugh, which was not the sort of dialogue you would normally say on somebody, but because he was an apikoros, that was his approach.
Who decides on what our apikoros is?
If a person does not accept Torah's min hashamayim, then that person is an apikoros. If a person says that one word or one letter is not from Hashem, then that person is an Abikoros. So the parameters are quite clear cut. And those who know that they're in the other camp, they know why they're called Abikorosim. So that's not to say that we expel them and don't want enough. Nothing, we don't want to have nothing to do with them. We have to bring them in and educate them and show them Ahlas Yisrael. We do find a time where Hashem has been laughing at other people, where in Gomorrah, Avodah Zorah, Daf Gimel, the nations of the world will complain to Hashem in the future that they haven't got the reward that the Jewish people have for keeping the mitzvahs, and they say, we'll keep the mitzvahs, and Hashem gives them the mitzvah of Sukkah. And what does Hashem do? He brings out the very hot sun and makes it difficult for them, and they kick it down. We've asked this once before, surely in its dire potim in a sukkah, when you're uncomfortable because of the heat, you don't have to sit in the sukkah. But it's their attitude, they kick it down, they're not really interested. So it says there that Hashem is laughing, and this is alluded to in Tehillim in Perek Beis in the fourth pasuk. And the Gemara there says, Rabbi Yitzchok asks, only on that day does Hashem laugh. That's the only time when Hashem is really laughing. So the Gemara asks, didn't Rabbi Huda say in the name of Rav that Hashem's day is split up in 12 hours into four different parts? What is Hashem spending his time in? What is his schedule, his itinerary? It says in the first 3 hours of the day, Hashem is learning Torah. The next 3 hours of the day, Hashem is judging the people, and he transforms himself from his kisei din to his kisei rachamim in order to exercise mercy on mankind. In the next 3 hours of the day, Hashem is busy feeding the world, making sure mekane re'emim abeitei kinim, to the largest creatures, to the smallest creatures, they've all got something to eat. Well, they got potential to eat. It's just that the politicians spoiled the distribution. And in the last 3 hours of the day, it says, Hashem is mesachek im haleviyoson. He is playing or laughing with the leviyoson fish. Now, this seems a bit odd, but it's alluded to in Tehillim in number 104 in Pasuk Chafvov, leviyoson ze yotzato lesachek bo. Hashem is playing or laughing with the leviyoson fish. What on earth does this mean? Alright, he's playing with the fish, he's not laughing at. Whereas before, with the story of the sukkah, with the Rishoyim of the world, he's laughing at them. Or in the Mitzriim, because of the Makov, Boroz, and Arbe, his Salalti, Hashem is laughing at the Rishoyim. But what is Hashem up to here? You know, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, it's always tempting to bring him down to our level to try and understand him and that we're created in his image. But, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creator of the world, above all beings, what is going on here that he's spending his time playing? I mean, he's not a gambler. So what does it mean? Hashem is playing with the Leviosa. Rav Herschel Schechter quotes Rav Soloveitchik to try and say that Hashem is trying to create some sort of role model for us, or lachta bidrochov, as to how we should be spending our day, that we should be spending, before we go to work, he says, 3 hours learning Torah, and then of course we go to work like Hashem is going to work, judging the people, feeding the people, and then at the end of the day to have a little bit of recreation to wind down a bit before we go to sleep. But I find this explanation a little bit too balabashish. I find it's, you know, and in any case, why the Leviathan fish? You know, if you're saying that Hashem has a bit of recreation, okay, so he plays a game of football, but why the Leviathan fish? What's the whole big deal about the Leviathan fish? We know that Hashem prepares the Leviathan fish, which is a huge monster of a fish. It's gigantic. And he prepares it for the tzaddikim la'osid lavo. He prepares it for the righteous people in the future. When we leave the sukkah, we pray that next year we should sit in the sukkah shel ara shel leviyoson. The skin of the leviyoson fish will be made around the walls of the future sukkah for the tzaddikim to sit in. The tzaddikim will all partake of eating a portion of the leviyoson fish. So what is this whole idea of the leviyoson fish? It's something which Hashem is keeping in track, keeping in motion, keeping in nourishment for the future, in preparation for the rewards of the tzaddikim. that what is Hashem doing, in addition to learning Torah during the day and judging the people and feeding the people, he is preparing what's necessary in Sechar V'Onesh, that one of the most essential three ingredients of life, says Rabbi Yosef Albo in his Sefer Ikorim, is Sechar V'Onesh. Hashem prepares for the afterlife, the rewards as well as the punishment. And so he is preparing with the Leviathan to keep it in fit shape, keeping it fit, that it does its gymnastics every day. So he's playing with the Leviathan to prepare the Leviathan for the future Sechar as well as Onesh, the rewards for tzaddikim. I found in the Maharal of Prague a very detailed concept relating to this Mesachikim Levliosson in the Be'er HaGola. He says this is to symbolize Hashem's chesed to the world, that in addition to Hashem judging the world and feeding the world, then in the last 3 hours of the day, Hashem is going out of his way to do chesed in the world, going over and above what he needs to do, kindness to others, just like we should practice kindness to others. And the Maharal explains how this is coming from the idea of playing with the Leviathan fish. But the way he does it is, it's quite complicated, so I can't go into further detail there. But talking about Hashem's humor, there is quite an interesting piece which was brought to my attention by Moshe David Spitzer, who is the son-in-law of Shlomo Shtal, and he showed to me the Sifsei Chachomim in Parshas Kisiso and Perek Lamed Gimel Yud Zayin, where I think I brought the text with me. We lay it on Shabbos Chalom Moed. It's in Kisiso after Aviv. I am Hashem of Moshe, Gamas Adavar Seshi Devarti. You have found favor in my eyes. No Hashem. And the question here is did Moshe suspect that Hashem does not like him? Did Moshe Rabbeinu actually think that he is not finding favor in Hashem's eyes? Surely the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is selected to lead the Jewish people, he knows that Hashem likes him. And there's a remarkable Sifsei Chachomim on this. The Apostle Mashma Sheo Sofek LeMoshe. Moshe had a doubt in his mind. If Hashem likes him. Obviously Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Hashem likes him. And he says, in Emesu Shemotzachem Dilma Masha or Marta Motzachem Benai, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, maybe when you Hashem said that I found favor in your eyes, Yitzchak Hayiso be, maybe you were joking with me. But Derech Bnei Adam, in the manner of mankind, that just like human beings laugh, you Hashem also laugh, and maybe you were joking with me, so I wasn't sure. A very remarkable piece of bringing out Hashem's humor, that Moshe thought Hashem was joking with him. Well, elsewhere in the Chumash we find a bit of maybe wit or sarcastic humor, even at the times of troubles. When the Jewish people are in their deepest times of troubles and persecution, they still have time for finding humor. They say this about when we were suffering in Nazi Germany, there were still jokes going around, even though there was such a miserable situation. And we find this when the Bnei Yisrael come out of Egypt, and in Parshat V'Shalach they're complaining on being chased by the Egyptians, and the fear of trepidation of being chased by the Egyptians, and that we are inevitably going to die as a result. And they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hamiblien kavorim b'Mitzrayim, were there no graves in Egypt? So they're not just giving him a telling off, but they're really making a joke out of it, saying, you know, what did we have to die here for? There are plenty of graves in Egypt. We didn't need to come here to die. It's a bit of sarcasm, but Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch writes on this. He says, even when the Jews are in trouble, they have wit. They survive with humor. A very interesting idea which he brings down. And this phrase of Amibli Ein Kavorim B'Mitzrayim is coined by the Alshich HaKadosh in his commentary on Megillas Rus, where the question is about Boaz meeting Ruth and the peculiar ways in which they would meet, or how Naomi told Ruth how to manipulate the way that they should meet each other in order that a shidduch comes from it. So the Al-Sheikh asks the question, Hamibli ein shadchanim ba'aretz, are there no matchmakers in the land? coining the same words and giving his perush in that same spirit of humor. As we move forward into Shas, in Gemara itself, perhaps the most amazing example of a piece of humor is in Gemara Psochim. And there we're talking about searching for the Chometz before Pesach on Daf Tes Amud Beis. It's talking about the problem of a mouse or a weasel schlepping Chometz around in your home. So you search for Chometz in one room, then you go into the next room, and the weasel comes from room number 4 back into room number 1 with Chometz. Then you go into the next room, and the weasel is then bringing Chometz. Ain't no dollar soap, there's no end to it. So you keep searching for Chometz, and you keep finding Chometz the whole time. Well, you can't keep going on and on. So the Gemara asks, "Umi amrinon ein choshishin shema garua chulda?" Aren't we therefore worried that the chulda, the weasel, is dragging chometz around without limit? And well, we can hide the chometz from the weasel, and therefore there's no need to bedikas chometz. So Amar Abaya, he says, Abaya says there's no real problem, no kasha. Hoba brasa, hobishlosha osa. On the 14th of Nisan, we're searching for chometz. And then there is a problem with the weasel. He says, "The shchiach rifta techulei bote." Normally, there's lots of chometz around in everybody's houses, so the weasel doesn't bother looking after its chometz so much. So, hobabra asa, hobishlosh asa. On the 13th of Nisan, there's lots of chometz around, but on the 14th of Nisan, the weasel looks after its chometz more because there's no chometz around in the houses. So, mitzana, it won't just hide. Hobabra asa, the lo shchiach rifta techulei bote. It's not likely to find the chometz, so much not. So the weasel hides its chometz. Omar Rava, so Rava argues with Abaya, as he traditionally does. V'chi chulda neviyohi, is this chulda a prophet, a prophetess? Is the weasel able to know what, has it got a calendar to say when is the 14th of Nisan? It knows that now it's Pesach. This weasel is such a great chochem, a great clever guy, that it knows when we're putting away chometz. The other shot, Ibn Abisa, it knows that today is the 14th. And so when you learn this, yeah, fine. You might ask, why is it that the Gemara doesn't say, "V'chi chulda chochmasahi"? Why are you suggesting that the weasel is a chochem, that it knows that Pesach is coming? But the expression uses neviyohi. It's a prophetess. Because as we know from Divrei HaYomim Beis, chapter Lamadala, Tosat Chaf Beis, Chulda was a prophetess, one of the 7 women prophetesses. So Chazal has coined this expression, or Rava did, rather than saying V'chi chulda chochmasahi, which would be the logical way of saying it, are you saying this weasel is clever? He's saying, are you saying the weasel is a prophetess? Gershon Hepner told me when he came across this Gemara for the first time, he was laughing non-stop for 10 minutes. He couldn't when he learned this Gemara. It's a howler. But there are some other strange pieces of humor in Shas. Perhaps in a way more slapstick kind of humor, or one line things, not so much subtle like the weasel was. There's a Gemara in Bava Kama Lama Zayin where someone called Hanan, he was a bit of a bully, and he assaulted somebody. So he was ordered by Rav Huna to pay damages to the person whom he assaulted of half a zuz. So this bully took out a 1 zuz coin, but it was a bit damaged. You know, it's like when you go into the corner shop and you present a coin which is bent, or a £5 note which is torn. They don't want to accept it. So he tried to pass off this 1 zuz coin, expecting to get a half a zuz change, because he only had to pay a half a zuz fine, but he wouldn't accept the damaged coin. So what did this Hanan do? He assaulted the fellow a second time. He slapped him again and says, "Okay, now I'm chayv 1 zuz, now you can keep the whole coin." Bit of a slapstick humour there, more for the Swiss, I suppose. But that's the Gemara in Bava Kama, where you've got a sample. There's another interesting piece of humour in Gemara Avodah Zorah in Daf Yotes, which is discussing the pasuk in Tehillim Kim Besaras Hashem Cheftzo, which is at the very beginning of Tehillim, that the Torah is your chefet. Torah should be made personalized to yourself. When you learn Torah, you should enjoy it, because that's the subject which you enjoy doing. So Levi and Rav Shimon were sitting before Rebbe, and Levi was saying, "Let's learn Mishlei." And Reb Shimon said, I don't want to learn Mishnah, let's learn Tehillim. I want to learn Tehillim, it's very relevant, we use it a lot in davening. So anyway, Levi was overruled, they took out the Tehillim. Now it came then to the second verse, at the very first chapter of Tehillim, Kim Besaras Hashem Chesto, that Torah should be your personal chesed, that you should learn what your heart desires. And Levi, who wanted to learn Mishnah, thought, I should learn what my heart desires. Thank you very much, Rebbe. You've given me the right to leave the classroom. And he stood up and he walked out. And there's a Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Tes. Interesting piece. There, Mishames Rebbe Botla Anova. When Rebbe died, he was regarded as the most humble person in the world and the one with the greatest Yiras Shemayim. So when Rebbe died, they said, Botlo anova the Yiras Chait. There is no longer humility in the world, or fear of heaven. Nobody else possesses that same virtue like Rebbe did. Omale Rav Yosef Latano. So Rav Yosef said, hold on a minute. You said there's no more anova? Lo titni anova tika ano. There is me. I am very humble. The Maharsha asks, how can a person say such a thing? And some Perushim, including Zilna Gaon, struggle a bit with this Gemara. What does it mean? There's nobody else humble. Oh, what do you mean? Nobody else humble. I am humble. There's even a suggestion in Farshim that they're talking about a person whose name is Ono. There is Ono. He is humble. But the basic pshat is, he's saying, well, I am humble. And the Netziv, the Emek Dovah, writes something extremely interesting on this, because just last week I was chatting with a budding psychotherapist by the name of Norman Taylor, who was saying to me how destructive it is when people pretend their humility by saying, I'm a good for nothing, I'm a nobody, I'm absolutely worthless, and they think that this is what humility is. He says that can't be, because it's so self-destructive when people have this attitude. And when you learn the Silat Yishayim, you seem to get that impression. But the Emek Dovar, he writes something very interesting on Vo'ish Moshe Anov Meod, where it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was extremely humble. There in Bamidbar Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav, he says, you've got the wrong idea what is a humble person. What is a humble person? He's not worried about his covert. He's not worried about his dignity. He's not expecting to be called up in shul for shalishi. Or even revi. You know the one about the fellow who visits the shul and he gets called up for revi. And he complains. He says, in the shul where I come from, they give revi to a dog. And the gubba says, yeah, we do the same thing here as well. So when a person complains that he doesn't get a shlishi or a shishi, he's worried about his covered, he's not given the honours, that is a lack of humility. It's not that a person should say, I'm just so lowly, you shouldn't say when you're asked to daven at the omud, I'm not worthy. If the gabba thinks you are worthy to daven at the omud or to give a shir, then do it, just do it. Hashem created you for that purpose. You should have that self-confidence. You should have that self-esteem. But not that you should say, I'm a good for nothing, I'm a nobody, I can't do anything, I can't daven at the onwards, I can't give a shit. You can do it if you pick yourself up and train yourself to do it.
But Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, that one Hashem told him to go
and eat,
he kept saying, I'm not.
Moshe Rabbeinu, Mionochi Shue, and that I should go to Paro. Because he felt he had a stutter, and therefore there were people who were more qualified than he was to be able to speak succinctly. And Rav said in Sanhedrin, he ordained that smicha for Rabbonus should not be given to anyone who cannot communicate properly, because people might get the wrong idea. Communication is the essence of Yiddishkeit. Communication between us and Hashem, and between us between each other. Communication is so important. So Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he had a disability, and therefore somebody else would be more appropriate. So yes, he was greatly humble, but it wasn't because he felt he was worthless. He felt he wouldn't be effective enough when he speaks to Paro. So this is a very interesting Netziv. They think she'ainu roda ze'atzava idakoed, and the mashmas onav shu misnayg v'li chashash al kavodo. The person should never be thinking about his honor. Yes.
About Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yes.
Before you said that it's not right for a person who can't communicate properly to represent.
Yes.
But once I learned that people who have some sort of disorder, like maybe they have trouble speaking properly, apparently it's a gift because they have an easy target in life.
Yeah, you're quite right.
Watching, and normally these people are great
to deacons,
so I'm
trying to... Right, you hit the nail on the head, you're quite right. Because every single person has a different talent. Every single person is created by Hashem for some other purpose in this world. Right? So one person might be very good at business and finds it hard to learn, and he will, as a result of that, help poor people with his money. Other people have the aptitude to learn Torah, and then they will be able to learn properly and teach it to others. Everybody has their own talent, and nobody should say, I have no talents at all. So everybody has to work out for themselves, why did Hashem put me in the world? And when one goes up after 120 years to Olam Haba, Hashem doesn't ask you, why were you like Moshe Rabbeinu? He asks, why weren't you yourself? Why didn't you develop your own potentials in order to bring about what Hashem gave you as a gift?
Okay.
The biggest punishment that a person gets in the world to come is that he or she are shown what they could have been. There's the story of Rev Zisha. Why weren't you Rev Zisha? Not why weren't you Moshe Rabbeinu? So that is the important lesson which comes out from this. Well, I did get from Moshe David Spitzer another interesting quote when we were discussing Yuma. He said, have you seen the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Megillah? I said, what are you talking about? He said, the Mishnah Berurah's pun. And I had to think for a moment, and I couldn't work out what he was talking about. And he showed me it's actually in the Biur HaLocha in Hilchos Megillah, which talks about reading the Megillah, or do you stand or do you sit? And the question that comes up is, can you do it when you're leaning? So you're sitting, but you're leaning in a rather odd position. So the Mishnah Berurah says, in the Biur HaLocha, Avalo Yikra B'Tzibur, when you're reading in the community, Hine B'Mata Yehuda Matzadid, the Smicha Mutter. Smicha is allowed. You can be leaning. Note the word Smicha. V'nir is in a Shas HaZachak. So when it's an emergency and you're feeling weak, yesh lismoch al zeh. You may rely on this. Lismoch means to rely or to lean on. And he was wondering whether the Chofetz Chaim deliberately made this pun or whether it was just an accident. Certainly we know that we can tell that the Gemara in Pesachim about the weasel was deliberate from the way it's worded as a piece of humour. It's not certain whether the Chofetz Chaim really intended this as a piece of humour or whether it was just inadvertent, but we can still laugh about it nevertheless. There's a story in Esther Rabba about Rabbi Akiva. He was giving a lesson to his pupils and they were falling asleep, and so he wanted to wake them up. And so he stopped what he was talking about and he immediately said, why did Queen Esther merit to rule over 127 countries? Because Hashem said, Tova Esther bitter shall Sorrow, because Sorrow Menu ruled over 127 years. What's going on here? Why does Rabbi Akiva try to wake up his pupils when they're all falling asleep to give them something completely different to talk about Queen Esther ruling over 127 countries? I've had a bit of difficulty finding an easy answer to this. Certainly we said humor is the unexpected, and he said something to his pupils, very unexpected. But why Queen Esther? Why Sorrow Imenu? Well, the Anaf Yosef says that Sorrow was earmarked as 127. When she was 100, she was like 20. When she was 20, she was like 7. She was much younger. Esther, according to certain views, was 80 years old, even though Ahasuerus sought out the young Basulos, the young girls he went for in the end, a woman who was not a Basulos, who was 80 years old. The age had nothing to do with it. So if you're falling asleep in a shir, don't say I'm too old. You can make yourself as young as you feel. There may be other explanations. Esther caused Ahasuerus to stay awake. So he couldn't sleep. So maybe that's a connection as well. The Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin discusses this question in his pre-Tzadok, that he was trying to raise them to a high level. Sorimenu was a high level. Queen Esther raised herself to a high level. And if we fall asleep in our shir, we're not going to succeed in raising ourselves to a high level either. The Tiferes Yisrael in Pekei Avos, Perek Gimel Yud, brings a number of interesting ideas on the Mishnah of Rabbi Dosa ben Rabbi Hakinus, who says that there are a number of things which are not good for you. Sheina shel shacharis, sleeping in the morning. V'yayin shel tzoharayim, drinking wine in the afternoon. Sichas yelodim, childhood chatter. V'yeshivas batei kinesias shel amei oretz, sitting amongst ignoramuses. Drives a person out of the world. And the Tiferes Yisrael takes this on course and says it's not as clear cut as this. He says really these four things in some small measured way might be good for you. Certainly if you slept the whole night properly, then sleeping late in the morning is not the right thing. But if you did have a late night, having a bit of extra sleep in the morning is good for you. He says having a bit of wine might give you a feeling of joy and Ivdus Hashem b'simcha, serve Hashem with joy, but of course everything has to be in moderation. The mabalbel haseichel, it can really then mix you up. But miyut ha'yofer, a small amount might be nice. L'sameach ha'nefesh. And he says, v'hakol l'fiyo odom v'tivo, everything's according to a person's own individual nature. And then on sichas yelodim, on childhood chatter, he says, it's really talking about sechok v'histos, laughter and frivolity. But shagam kenius ha'yofer, a little bit is not bad for you. Remember we said from the mission of miut sechok, you can acquire Torah with some laughter. Lahavlik l'sameach ha'nefesh, to give yourself a good mood. Avarakin nosh anoshim gedolim, when you're sitting with other people, they should be great people. Sheish b'milei to the chusoy mohem, when you are joking with them, divrei ha'seichel. They're seicheldik jokes. They're not lashon hara, they're not evil slander sort of jokes. But simple childhood chatter, that's not right. That just mixes up your seichel. And the same way, when you're sitting with others, you want to avoid lashon hara and nivul peh. Abraham seichel v'yiras shamayim. So there are some goods of laughter which are good for you, and some goods kinds of laughter which are bad for you. And maybe I'll end off with a Gemara from Tanis. And Gemara in Tanis, Eliyahu HaNavi is walking in the marketplace. And he is asked, the Rav who meets him asks him, can you tell me who here in this marketplace are the B'nai Olam Haba? Who here merits the Olam Haba? Is it these guys with big black hats and long black beards over there, with long black coats? Or is it the people selling their wares? Who is it who is B'nai Olam Haba? And Eliyahu HaNavi says, there are two men over there, simple men, who are B'nai Olam Haba. He goes up to these two men, he says, who are you? What do you do for a living? They say, our professional life is that of jesters. Our job is to make people laugh. Our job is to make people happy, to cheer people up when they're depressed, to come to a wedding and to crack jokes. That is our job, and we go out of our way to make people happy. These are the B'nai Olam Haba. An amazing lesson which comes out from the Gemara in Tanis. So as we now approach the 3 weeks, Shavuot HaBetamos is next week, we address a very mournful period of our lives. Klal Yisrael have just been suffering some very mournful experiences. Yes, we've got plenty reason to feel bad about lots of things. But if we carry on with this spirit of hope, and with a bit of laughter and joy, which can put us in good spirits, that will give us the strength to carry on, that we should be zocher, that the Tisha B'Av shall not be a fast day this year, but should be a Yom Tov, b'mehir, b'mashiach, k'keinu, amen.
Amen. Amen.